Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. Man. Looking forward to what God's going to do tonight in the service. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 1. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, He sendeth forth two of His disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into a village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye? Loosing the colt. And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strewed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Have we not heard that in a testimony here tonight? I believe that would be witness number 3. How many witnesses do you need? God is trying to say something tonight in the mouth of 2 or 3. We heard it said, Brother Zach preached it. We heard Brother Robert had no clue what I'm preaching tonight. Make reference to the Hosanna. And then I'm the 3rd witness that I'm fixing to take the stand. God is going to say something. I'm confident of that tonight. Amen? And the Bible said, Amen. That got me stirred up there when I read that. Amen. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer. Would you pray with us and for us tonight? I certainly need the touch of God tonight. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. I need you tonight desperately. I know that where you have called us to stand, Lord, you have not called angels. You did not call one angel to stand where I'm standing. But you've called unworthy men that you have saved by the grace of God and called them into the ministry. And Lord, I thank you for that. Help me now bring to my attention the things, God, that I need to say, things I need to see. Help me, Lord, to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, nothing else will matter tonight. Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be meat for the Master's use. I want to be your mouthpiece this evening. Lord, we've been in meeting all week. We've seen you do great, mighty things. But Lord, tonight is a fresh night. We need a fresh touch from heaven. Use us, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for our sakes, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm going to be preaching to young people tonight. I want all the young people from 18 years old and down to stand. 18 years old and down to stand. 18 years old, that does not say that if you're older than that, you're not a young person. Amen. Amen. Let's conclude 20 and down. 20 and down. 20 and down. Stand. That added several. 20 and down. Stand. Statistics says that 8 out of 10 of these will be out of church by 18 years old. Statistics show that. And I'm going to read them to you here in just a moment. That is, if that is true, that I have laying before me out of this paper, 8 out of 10 of you, that is 2 out of 10, will remain in church when you reach 18 years old. Now, if I was in your shoes, I would be wanting to know what it's going to take to keep me from being one of the statistics. If I was in your shoes, I would want a preacher to preach to me. I would want a parent to instruct me. I would want to run with friends that would encourage me staying in the house of God. You don't. It don't take no effort to get out of church. Listen, I'm talking about 18 years old and down. 8 out of 10. Actually, 9. Right at 9. It's 88%. Almost 9 out of every 10, my friend, will get out of church 18 years old. Are you listening? That's out of church. I don't want you to be one of the statistics. I don't want you to be one of the statistics. You can be seated. Something is happening to our young people. Something is happening. I'm talking about to our young people that's being raised in our fundamental Baptist churches underneath our fundamental preaching. Something has happened when almost 9 out of 10 of our young people winds up leaving church, never to return. Something's wrong with that. Let me read you these statistics. 88% of children raised in evangelical homes leave the church at age 18, never to return. Another study, another poll given, said that 23% of students that were highly churched as teens, listen to this now, 23% of students that were highly churched remain spiritually active by age 29. 23% remaining spiritually active by 29 years old. Another report said this, that 70% of teenagers involved in church youth groups stop attending church within 2 years following high school graduation. Are you listening? The trend is clear, the report went on to say, the trend is clear that we are not passing on our Christian faith to the next generation. Something's going wrong at the house of God when our young people do not want what we have preaching to them and teaching to them and to live it out in their own personal lives and raise their family up around it and with it. Something is wrong. Listen, young people, setting in a good fundamental church does not guarantee your future. 9 out of 10, 18 years old gets out of church, Brother Tim. It ain't who your preacher is. It's not what church you go to. I believe those things are important. But if you young people don't get a hold of truth and let God change your life and you have your own personal convictions, you'll be one of the statistics. What I want to preach tonight, I want to use that colt tonight to represent what a lot of young people need. That colt has a lot to say to us tonight. And we're going to look at it and we're going to glean from it. As a young colt, my friend, it ought to say something to you young children and young people. It ought to have something to say to you tonight. Amen? But I'm concerned of what I'm seeing going on in the average church. I'm concerned about it. Young people are not interested in Jesus. If you don't have an enormous amount of extra activities and all other extra things, then you don't even have a youth group. In fact, you look at the average youth group and the average church in America, you can't tell if they've been to a rock concert or if they go to church. Amen. They're not interested, my friend, in being tied. They're interested in being loose. So I want to preach on that cold tonight. Now what happened? Here's what I want to deal with. Now we all know that Jesus is God. God manifest in the flesh. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. If you don't believe in the deity of Christ, you're not saved. Bottom line, it don't matter what else you believe. If you don't believe that He's God, that He's deity, my friend, then you're not saved. Amen. Well, he was here on earth. He's here in the text that I read. And guess what he did? Amen. When they brought that colt to him, representing a young person, when they brought that colt to him, guess what Jesus did? Jesus got on it. Well, let's think about it. Jesus got on it. And Jesus is God. I tell you what we need that'll keep young people in church is to get God on it. Amen. That's what I want to preach tonight. Getting God on you. I'm telling you, if I were to ask you tonight, young people, what is your ambition in life? What is your goals? What are you after? What are you wanting to achieve? What would you say? I want to say the highest goal, the highest dream, the highest achievement, the highest accomplishment would be to have God on you. No, nothing greater, nothing higher, nothing greater than having God on you. But how many young people's interested in it? They're more interested in popularity. They're more interested in fitting in. They're more interested in looking worldly, sounding worldly, talking worldly, acting worldly. Hey man, they're not interested in getting God on. Jesus didn't get on just any old horse that come through town. Jesus got on that one that positioned himself in the place where Jesus could get on him. Amen. Getting God on him. Now I want to say, dear friend, I know I'm preaching to young people tonight, but it wouldn't hurt for a few moms and dads to get God on them. By the way, if you read Matthew's account of it, you'll find out that it wasn't just the colt, but it was the mama and the colt that was tied and was brought, and Jesus rode them both in the town. Why the kids don't want God on them? Because they've not seen mama get God on her. Hey, man, that's where we're losing it. Children are not seeing anything much at the house. I got this past weekend. I preached in a youth meeting down in St. Stephen's. A young girl came up to me, and I didn't even pay much attention to who she was. She handed me this little letter folded up. And after I got to reading it and got to looking at whose name it was, I realized that she's been raised in one of the godliest homes that I know of anywhere. Her daddy's her pastor. Her daddy's a preacher. I mean, a fireball man of God. And I want to read it to you. Written August the 7th. Dear Brother Rackley, thank you so much for the message. And by the way, it's the message I'm preaching tonight. Thank you so much for the message you preached last night. Everything you said was exactly what I needed. I've grown up in the greatest Christian home in this world. And I thank God every day for that blessing. I'm 17 and I just got a job. They have pressured me, I assume at the job. They have pressured me so hard. And it is just like you said in your message. I kind of envied them, but I never dreamed of leaving behind what God had given me. I've been touched with God before, where people around me knew it and were blessed. In other words, she said, I've had God on me before. Amen. I've been reading my Bible and praying every day, like I always do, but I've gotten away from God. Y'all didn't get that. 17 years old, raised in a godly home, a godly Christian home, a preacher's home, a pastor's home, and my friend lives clean, clean as a hound's tooth. Are you listening? And here she said, I'm still reading my Bible, I'm still dressing right, I still outwardly got standards, but she said, I've gotten away from God. You can be backslid as a goat and still be in church. Listen to what she said. She said, but I've gotten away from God and have not seriously asked for His hand on me. I just want you to know that if nobody else got help last night, I did, with 3 exclamation marks. I really want God's hand on my life. And your message really touched my heart. Thank you so much for minding God. I'll never forget that message. Thank you, Miss Kendra. Are you listening? Amen. Our young people are in trouble. Amen. The world's after them. Let me deal with this if I may. Got a lot of ground to cover and I don't want to keep you all night. I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at this lamb, as we look at this colt, the first thing I want to share about getting God on you is, number one, you must have the lamb to redeem you. The lamb must redeem you. Now did you know that the Bible says something about the colt over in Exodus? Two different verses, chapter 13 and verse 13. Can I read it to you? Listen to what the Bible said. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. In other words, that colt was born with a curse of death on it. That colt was born, unless it gets redeemed, it'll get its neck broke and it will die. It's either the lamb dying or it's going to die. That sounds like the gospel to me. You're going to get God on you. You first got to be redeemed. Amen. Oh, you don't have to go, Brother Robert, and find you a little four-legged lamb. Lamb of God's already been sent. Already laid down His life. For you and I, 2,000 years ago, Jesus will never get on somebody that's not redeemed. I believe that is the reason a lot of young people are not interested tonight in getting God on them, is they've never been redeemed. You've never took advantage of the Lamb's substitutionary death for you. Boy, don't you know that old colt, born deserving of death, Brother Jacob? Don't you think he was appreciative? Don't you think he was grateful that lamb, the innocent lamb, died in its place? Oh, I want to tell you, if we ever get over Calvary, we're sunk. If we ever get over the Lamb of God dying for our sins, Him dying instead of me, Him dying as me, I'm going to tell you, if we ever get over that, my friend, we're in bad shape. Amen. So the lamb had to redeem it. And then number two, I want to point out, and I want to bog in on this one a little bit. Not only was it the lamb had to redeem it, but number two, there was the lead that restricted it. There was the lead that restricted it. I'm going to tie you up, amen. The lead that restricted it. Amen. Come here, Blake. Amen. I might as well speak on him. He's my son. Amen. Hopefully I won't turn all this stuff over. Amen. Amen. Just stand right there. Are you listening? Amen. Maybe I won't tear this off. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 2, go your way into a village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. Amen. Boy, I can't hardly wait to get on this. Can I say, first of all, tonight I'm going to point out three major truths about this lead. Now I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead of me just a little bit. This is not a rope. It's a lead. That's important because I'm going to deal with it in a minute. Here's the three things that I want to point out about that lead. God help me to get it across. Number one, it was the same lead that was on its parents. Or on its parent. Matthew chapter number... Listen, are you listening? Matthew chapter 21... It identifies that you, verse 2, go your way in a village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them. Oh, I want to tell you, young people, what will help you deal with the tie, the lead that restricts you, is to look around and see the same convictions, see the same standards upon your parents. Don't expect young people to want the leads to restrict them when the parents are loose. Because mama see, kids see what they see and they do what they see. They learn from what they see more than what they hear. The first thing I want to say about the lead that restricted it, number one, was it was the same that was on the parents. Both the colt and its mama was tied, listen, in the same place. And with the same ties. That'll revolutionize our young people. A lot of young people, a lot of parents, they won't mind having some restrictions on their children. See, one of the benefits of having restrictions on your children, one of the benefits on this is they can just go so far. Now, I know young people look at that and they think, under God, mom and daddy are killing me. You're not letting me go and do what I want to do. There's restrictions on my life and there's limitations on my life and there's boundaries on my life. Oh, God help. But I wouldn't be much of a parent. I wouldn't be much of a daddy, Brother Tim, if I wanted it on my son. But I didn't want it on me. I'd be sorrier than dirt, ladies and gentlemen, if I was a daddy, amen, that wanted my son to be limited and have some limitations and boundaries in his life, but yet I wanted to be loose. Amen. But that scenario very seldom ever happens. Because loose parents generally produce loose children. General. There's a few exceptions to that standard. And I just want you to know tonight that, ladies and gentlemen, not only was their parents that wants that on their children, but not on themselves, but the roles reverse sometimes. Sometimes the role, the lead is on the parent, and the child wants to be loose. Oh, he looks at his mom and daddy and he says, oh, I see mom and daddy have some standards in their life and some convictions in their life. And thank God for children that can see that in their daddy, see that in their mama. But they don't want it. That's why the 88% of kids, when they reach 18, are gone from church, never to return. And I tell you what I'm seeing as well, some parents, ladies and gentlemen, has got the standards and the ties on them, but they're willing to not put it on their children. I'm seeing that, Brother Zach, in churches across where I preach, where I go preach, I am seeing parents, my friend, that still themselves personally still have the ties on them. But they are letting their children go loose. If it's not good enough for mom and daddy, it's not good enough for the children. If it's good enough for daddy and mom, it's good enough for the children. Amen. What's wrong, mom and dad? What's wrong with you not wanting your children to follow in your footsteps? Why, mom and daddy, would you not want to get close to God and full of the Spirit of God? Separate yourself from this world. Be sanctified by the Holy Ghost of God and want to see the same time that's on you be on your children. I say again, the same ties that was on the parents was on the little. Stand right there. Let me say something else about this. Are you listening? Say amen. If you're there, still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I'm concerned. Honestly, I am concerned about young people. My friend that's being raised in our churches and underneath our preaching and underneath our teaching and underneath our training. Are you listening? I come to preach tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You didn't come to hear it. You didn't come to hear it. Amen.
I come to preach tonight. Are you listening? I tell you what a lot of young people are doing, and they're fools for doing it. My friend, go to a church that believes right. Go to a church that's got standards and convictions and limitations and boundaries. And my friend, they're being raised with that. Got a mom and daddy that like that. And young people willingly are taking it off of their necks and throwing it to the ground. I don't know. My wife and I were talking about this past week. I don't know how many families that we know. Me and my wife knows that once we served God together and went to church with her, and I preached with some of them and preached in their churches and stuff. And now to see their pictures on Facebook with a beer in their hand. I'm talking about a preacher's son. My friend with a beer in his hand and his ears pierced with earrings. Are you listening? Why would not a young person want to say, you know what? Daddy raised me that way. Mom and Daddy raised me that way. And I'm not about to throw my heritage down the tubes. I'm not about to take those things, those restrictions, and throw them aside and go loosely out into the world. Young person, you don't have to exert no energy to be worldly. You don't have to exert no energy to be carnal. Amen. Hold that just a minute. Let me give you something else. I've got to hurry. I've got a lot more to preach than I can get preached. Are you listening? Amen. Now, I've noticed that every generation, and I've seen some, that every generation that comes and goes are lengthening the rope. Amen. When I started out, you know, there was limitations about right here. I knew that I couldn't go that far and listen to that kind of music, and I couldn't go that far and wear them immodest clothing, and I couldn't go that far and fit in with the parties. But you know what has happened over a few generations? They've stretched and limited, they've lengthened the rope. So now they're out a few more steps further. And then they'll let their children go a few more steps further. And then they will let their children go a few steps further. And the next thing you know, you can't even tell where old time religion used to be. Are you listening? I didn't come to shout tonight. I come to preach. Are you listening? I'm concerned about what's going on with our young people. I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about it, my friend. I'm talking about young people raised in this kind of a church and churches that are like ours that I know about it and go to their Facebook and go to their things like that and hear ungodly music and see ungodly portraits and hear them use language that's unbecoming of a Christian. And I thought, if they only knew, if their mama knew, if their daddy knew, if their preacher knew, what would they think? They're more interested in fitting in. Let me move on. Let me deal with this. Number one, not only is it the lead that restricted it, number one is the same that was on the parents. Number two, it sets the perimeters. That lead, as I've already preached, my friend, and showed you, that lead is not a rope, it's a lead. That lead, my friend, keeps you from going too far. Watch this right here. Blake knew what I was going to do. I let him do it, but he don't know what I'm doing. And I don't either. You know why, Brother Mark? Why am I all those that's got restrictions on them, why are they always wanting to be right here? Why are they always wanting to be right here? Got everything stretched tight, budging the boundaries. Hey, watch this right here. Watch this, Brother Carroll. Look at all this liberty I've got. Look at all this liberty I've got. Praise God, look at all this freedom I've got. Hey, man, I'm not tied down where I can't do nothing. I've got all kind of liberty. Praise God, I've got all kind of freedom within the confines and with the boundaries of old time religion and Bible holy living. There's all kind of room. There's all kind of freedom. Are you listening? But instead, Brother Zach, most young people, they're not in here enjoying the altar. What's this? I've got liberty to get in the altar. I've got liberty to get in the altar. I've got liberty to get in the pulpit. I've got liberty, my friend, to walk around and enjoy the good things of God. Why would I want to stretch her tight? Why would I want to be here? The lead that restricted it. Not only is it the one that was the same that was on the parent, but it set the parameters. In other words, thank God it put some boundaries in your life. And I know, young person, what you're thinking, because I used to be young as well. I still am, amen. That's right, amen. Say amen, brother. But I want to tell you something, dear friend. When Mom and Daddy put them restrictions on me, I thought, Mom, you're killing me. Mama, you won't let... I'm talking about 20 years old now. I'm not talking about 13. Mama telling me, you either break it up or I will. Because she knew I was dating someone, my friend, that was certainly 5,000 miles away from Christian, 5,000 miles away from anything that represented the restrictions that I'd been raised with. But I was a fool, because I'm going to tell you what I did. I throwed it down, Brother Stephen, and I went exploring. And I still regret it today, Brother Tim. I still bear the scars, my friend, of that looseness. You can't have looseness without losing. But it sets the parameters. Hey, young person, hey, young lady, young man, if you've got a mama that'll tell you no. And by the way, could I tell you that is a word in the English language, and I know some young people never hear it. When I say no, some young people think I'm talking Chinese or something. They say, oh, English language don't have a no in it. Hey, I want to tell you, Mom and Daddy do it real well. I heard it frequently. And when I was growing up with that no on my life and that was those boundaries and restrictions, Brother Silas, I thought, Mom, what in the world are y'all doing? Daddy told me, and listen, he said, you're not going to listen to that garbage music in my house. He put some boundaries on my life. He knew what the damaged music does. You'll never live above what you listen to. What you listen to will control how you live. All I have to know how you live is to listen to what you're listening to. My daddy said, you're not going to listen to that garbage in my house? I thought I'd slip one in on him. I borrowed a tape one time. That was back when they had those cassettes, those 8-tracks. Y'all don't remember that, do you? Some of y'all in here remember the reel-to-reel, probably. Amen. I want to tell you what Daddy did, and I didn't know he was in the house. Had the door closed, and I didn't have it turned up too loud. But you know how daddies are. They can hear through walls. I believe Mama could see through mountains. They always knew what I was doing. Daddy come by my bedroom and he heard that thump and bump junk, amen, in my room. He didn't knock on the door and say, Mary, can I come in? He didn't knock on the door and say, would it be all right if I invaded your privacy? No! He come through the door, walked over to the tape player, jerked it out, threw it on the floor, and crunched it to pieces. And I was screaming, Daddy, it's not mine. He said, I don't care whose it is. It's in my house. I said, you'll not listen to that garbage in my house. He said, preacher, I'll never do that with my children. Well, that may be the reason why that I am 20... Wait a minute. I start to say I'm 28 years old. I've been saved 28 years. I'm 48 years old. That's why I'm still in church. My sister married a preacher and she's in church. Serving God down there. My brother's in church. Also a preacher. Maybe Mom and Daddy wasn't so bad. Hey man, hope you don't get tired of listening. Are you listening? It's the same as the parents. It sets the parameters, the limitations. What's this right here? Oh, this is good. The Bible said they were tied where two ways met. Now, I'm illustrating what Blake would do if he knew what I was wanting him to do. He's tied where two ways met. In other words, there was a whole lot of traffic going this way and a whole lot of traffic going that way. And there wasn't none of them tied. And I'm going to tell you where the old colt was at a lot of times. And then he come out and he said, Mom,
How come it is they get to do all that? And I can't. Did you notice that? I knew where it was going to stop. I didn't have to turn around and see how much was left. I knew where it was going to stop. Because I'd already been out here to the limp before. Hey, Mom! There's a lot of free roaming young people out there. Nobody's ever saying nothing to them about restrictions on what they listen to and what they wear and where they go and who their friends are. Mom, why is it that I've got to have these restrictions on me? Mom, why is it that I can't do this and that and the other? Are you listening? Listen to this. Oh, it's good. Stand right here, Blake. Come right here and stretch it tight. Not too tight. I'm going to be one of them that's in them one of the two ways, Brother Stephen. Walking by. And I can't believe that. I feel so sorry for that young man. Look at him. He's not loose like me. I can do whatever I want to do. I feel so sorry for him. In other words, all of them out there in the two ways that was roaming free and going wherever they wanted to go, they looked on the colt with pity. Poor little independent Baptist boys and girls raised in a godly home. Poor. I feel so sorry for them. Pity. Looked on them with pity. But if you're not careful, this one, the colt, will be looking on them with envy. Oh, I wish I was like them. Oh, I get so tired of these boundaries and limitations in my life. I'm so sick of this. Oh, I wish I was like that one.
Mom, you're preaching,
brother. Oh, I wish I was like that one. But you need to consider where they're going to wind up. They might be just passing by. You look like everything's hunky-dory, but they may be headed to prison. They may be headed to jail. They may be headed, my friend, to being a full-blown alcoholic. They may be headed down the road, my friend, just roaming free and end up being a full-blown drug addict. Hey, I want to tell you, everything don't appear to be what it looks like. You better stay within the safety, yes, of your boundaries. Stay within the confines of your boundaries and limitations. Watch this right here. Listen to me. Lord, help us, Jesus. Number three, not only is it the same. I'm talking about there was the lamb that redeemed it. There's the lead that restricted it. It was the same lead that was on the parents. It set the parameters. Oh, this is good. Amen. This is number three. It serves as preparation. Without this restriction on it, brother, no telling where this colt would be. It serves as preparation. Preparation for what? When the master calls. When the master calls and says, I have need of you. You know where you're at. When God is needing somebody to get on, He's going to be looking for somebody that's got some standards in their life. He's going to be looking for somebody that's got some convictions in their life. He's not going to go out there and find somebody living loose. Anybody can live loose. He's looking for a young person, a colt, if you will, that is a man not rebelling against the leads. Now that colt didn't know that. That colt didn't know that. Before the colt knew anything about Jesus, Jesus knew all about the colt. Hey, man. Before the colt ever knew anything about the Son of God, God already had the colt in His plans. Hey, already sent somebody to go get it, amen. Where'd they go? They went and found one that was tied. See, the restrictions serve as preparation. You say, Daddy, they could say, Daddy, why is it that you put these restrictions on me? Why is it that you put these boundaries on me? I'll tell you, here's my heart. Y'all ready? You ready, Brother Stallard? Here's my heart, because I won't wait to be where He's supposed to be, so that when the Master calls, He'll be there. That's my heart. That's my heart as a preacher. That's my heart as a parent. Listen, we're not wanting just to lock everybody up and tell them you can't do this and that. We're just wanting you to be where you need to be, positioned right for usefulness. Tired yet? Back up with me. Don't want him to hang himself. That wouldn't make for a good illustration. Listen to this. It serves as preparation. Restriction and standards served a big part in the colt's preparation. Listen, if it not had not have been for those leaves upon it, Brother Robert, no telling where it would have been. It wouldn't have been there. It probably would have got caught up with all them two ways meeting and would have been out there roaming around with all them other goats. But the restriction served as preparation. Boy, that's good, I'm telling you. Amen. You know what those... Are y'all standing with me? I promise you, you're not as hot as I am. Are you listening? I ain't worried about the hot heat. I'm ready to turn the heat up. Amen. If we could stand in the gap and keep some young people from going out into the world and going astray, I'm willing to sweat till I pass out. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. What that right there does, that lead, you know what it does? It keeps the colt in the zone of usefulness. My heartbeat for every young person in our church is to try to keep them in the zone and hope that God will send and say, I've got need of you. I want to use you. Can I move on and deal with a third thing? You've been very kind and patient. Listen to us. Not only did it take the lamb to redeem it for God to get on it, it took the lead that restricted it in order for God to get on it. But I want to say it also took, number three, the leaders that routed it, or the laborers that routed it. What do you mean routed it? The colt didn't know where Jesus was. The colt didn't know where Jesus was. What's this right here? It's good. Hey, man. The colt didn't know where Jesus was, and Jesus sent. He said, go down here to a specific place, a specific village, and you're going to find the colt tied with his mom and bring him. If you rebel against the lead, you'll probably rebel against leaders. God sent them men. Jesus sent them men down there to get the colt. You know what He did? He didn't come right here and undo the colt right here. This is not a rope. This is a lead. He comes up here. I'm preaching. Are you listening? He comes up here. Those men did, and untied it from there. Left the limitations on it, left the standards on it, left the restrictions on it, left the boundaries on it. God will never ask you to lay stuff down that He told you to pick up. He'll never tell you to pick up what He told you to put down. Boy, the young people I'm seeing, my friend, throw their convictions away. The lead stayed on it. Where am I taking him, Brother Tim? To Jesus. What am I leading him with? The lead. The same thing that I'm leading him with is the same thing that kept him in the zone. But if you rebel against the lead, then you'll probably rebel against the leaders. Young people, can I say here, listen, you better thank God. God has put leaders in your life. God has put leaders in your life. What about a mom and daddy? What about a pastor? What about a church?
You've noticed, Brother Ivan, the whole time I've been using this illustration, this was tied around the pulpit. Young people, if you want anything to keep you tied, keep you straight, keep you where you need to be, stay tied to the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. Stay underneath a preacher that'll preach a high on heaven. Stay underneath a preacher that loves your future better than your feelings. Amen. It's not afraid of hurting your feelings. It will help you. Thank God for a man of God, and I've had them that love me and love me and love me and preach to me. That's rude. Hey, sad to say though, a lot of leads, if it's on the pulpit, most churches will let you go real long. Because they don't never say nothing about nothing. That's not a pastor, that's a hireling. Amen. That's a hireling that's in it for a paycheck. Amen. That's right. The laborers that routed it. The colt didn't know where to go. So God sent leaders to get the lead to lead the colt to where Jesus was. It was willing to submit to the leadership of others. Not just anyone. Watch this right here. Y'all see where I'm going. He was willing to submit, Brother Henry, to the leadership of others. Others that knew where Jesus was. Others that had been with Jesus. Not just anybody. There's a fight and a battle over who's going to have their hands on this right here. The world would love to get their hands a hold of whatever it would take to lead you. Except they're not going to use those boundaries and restrictions that mom and daddy and the preacher and your grandparents used on you. They're going to do this number. They're just going to take it all. Throw that old time preaching away. Throw that old Bible preaching away. And just, come on, man, we're having a party down here. And man, we're going to a dance over here. And man, have you heard we're going over here? We're going to do this. And all the young people's hanging out over here. There's a battle of young people over who's going to lead you. But I want to ask you a question. Who are you going to let lead you? Watch this right here. There's no indication, Jacob, whatsoever, that when them men was leading that colt, the colt was kicking and pulling and scrapping and fussing and kicking and rebelling. No. It submitted. It realized that it didn't know everything. Oh, mercy. How many young people act like they know more than Jesus does? Amen. Who do you think you are, Mom, Dad, preacher? You're old-fashioned. You don't have a clue about today's generation. No, but I know who the God of this world is. It's the prince and power of the air, the devil himself, and he's out for your destruction. Those that you think's against you, that tries to hold some standards in your life, they're really the ones that's for you. Because one day, you're going to be informed that this Master has need of you. Young people, I can say this without hesitancy. The Lord has need of you. Every young lady and every young man in here, the Lord has need of you. You know what that means? Listen here. Blake, you can be seated. I might need you in a minute. I figure you're getting tired. The laborers that routed it. The colt discovered that those ropes wasn't ropes, they was leads. The colt, no doubt, was led by the same lead. Those laborers, those leaders that were sent. I'm not going to take time to preach this because I want to get to the last point. They were sent laborers. God uses people. God, listen, young people, I know I didn't preach that long. Praise God. I thought I'd preach long. Amen. That's got a fresh one, second wind right there. Amen. They were sent laborers. Thank God. I had no clue that those preachers that were sent into my path were sent of God. I didn't have no clue that a lot of those other people that were instrumental in influencing my life were sent. God uses people, and He will position and send people into your life for the purpose of leading you toward Jesus.
Don't fight against them. Don't fuss. Don't rebel against them. Stay right. Stay clean. Stay close. They were sent laborers. They were steered laborers. Jesus told them exactly where to go. He gave them details of where they were to go. They were sacrificing laborers. They sacrificed time, energy, effort. And many times they sacrificed their own means to go in an effort to lead a young person to Jesus. Getting God on requires the Lamb to redeem it, the leads to restrict it, the leaders to route it, but also the Lord that wrote it. The Lord that wrote it. The lead and the leadership led to lordship. Lord, give me that. The lead and the leaders led the colt to lordship. That is for Jesus to get on it and conquer it. The Bible said it never been a man set on it. Are you listening? To rebel against the lead and the leaders usually will produce a rebel against the Lord. If you rebel against the lead, you've got an attitude, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Guess what? You won't submit to the Lord either. You won't submit to the Lord either. Amen? When Jesus needs someone to get on, He's going to look for someone that's got standards and convictions and restrictions in their life. That's not interested in going out into the world and being worldly and ungodly. Amen. And dressing immodest. And amen. That's right. That's right. All the trends that's going on today that's foreign for this Scripture. The trends that's going on in young people today that is not found in this book. And I could preach right there all night dealing with some of the trends that's going on in our young people. By the way, can I ask you something, young lady, young man, right here in this church tonight? Who said the world is supposed to set the standard? Who said the world's supposed to tell you how you're supposed to dress? You say, I don't believe dressing's in the Bible. Well, you better read it. First thing Jesus dealt with, first thing God dealt with in the Garden of Eden was the clothing issue. They were naked, and Jesus clothed them. First thing He dealt with. But the world never tell you that. The world says, take it off. Amen. Drop the top, pull up the bottom. Amen. Wear it about 14 sizes too small. Ain't a thing spiritual about that. That's worldliness. That's carnality. That's flesh. You don't dress like that to be godly. You dress like that to impress somebody that you're fitting in with Hollywood's trends. I'm sick of it. You hear me? I'm sick of it. Seeing our church young people being influenced by Hollywood and that bunch of garbage out there that wouldn't know God if they were singing in the road. I was preaching in Statesville. Y'all came one night. I was preaching in Statesville this week. And in route to church one night, have you ever wondered why a lot of boys are walking like this? They have to walk like that to keep their britches from falling the rest of the way off. Makes me sick. I'm not meddling, I'm still preaching. That makes me sick. Walk around and have to keep a hold of their britches, amen, to keep them from falling off. Why? I tell you where they got that. They got that from California. They got it from the West Coast, from the prisons. That's sodomite dress code. That's homosexual dress code. It come from the prisons of California. My friend, of those sodomites. My friend, listen, wearing their clothes about high off, showing their underwear, saying, I'm for sale. I'm open for business. You think I'm going to let our young people dress like that and me not preach against it? You're crazy. That's right. I'm going to preach against it. Why would anybody sitting on a good fundamental Baptist church pew want to be like that crowd? Why would you? They wouldn't spit on Jesus if He was on fire. Why would you want to be like Him? I'll tell you what we need. We need young people to fall in love with Jesus and want to be like Jesus. Amen. That's right. You think I'm going to have in my CD player? You think I'm going to have music, my friend, that's been played and sung by people that hates Jesus? That's right. I sent an email to AC/DC. Their famous song, Highway to Hell. I sent them. I wasn't mean. I wasn't mad. I sent them, God told me to send it to them. Brother, he sent it back calling Jesus a pothead and everything else. Makes my blood boil. Especially when I know that there's a lot of young people listening to, not maybe not them, maybe not that song, but you listen to people that's just like them. They've given themselves over, my friend, Brother Powers, they've given themselves over to, my friend, write music that, my friend, undermines what I preach. You better believe I'm going to preach against it. We may never have a big church, and I'm not in competition, no how. I'm telling you, it's time that we stand up. If we are saved, live like it. I know some of you don't like it, and you done made up your mind you ain't coming back. I'm loading your wagon while you're here, amen. And I challenge you. Listen, I've been on a dead run all week. Are you listening? I'll stay here till tomorrow morning. The sun comes up and talk to you. I challenge you, show me where I'm wrong in this book. And then give me the same equal time to show you where you're wrong in this book. I challenge. If I'm so wrong, show me. Hey, folks, listen. If I'm so wrong, why is it that this statistic right here is about our young people? I know what it is. Preachers has quit preaching. And I'm going to tell you why. We're going to wait a minute. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you why a lot of preachers quit preaching. Because every time they, and I've had it done to me, every time they preach to try to help their young people, my friend, to be holy and to be, my friend, to stay within the confines of those restrictions, amen, so that God could use them. Hey, let me tell you something, dear friend. A lot of preachers get chewed out after the service by mom and daddy. That's a sorry, no care, good for nothing, mom and daddy. Let me tell them I said so. You wouldn't get mad at a preacher try to help your daughter. You wouldn't get mad at a doctor. You wouldn't take your daughter or son to a doctor and, my friend, him having to help your son and daughter. Might even have to cut them open to help. Might have to hurt them bad to help. You're going to pull that doctor's side, grab his ear, twist it by half off, say, hey, I'll tell you something. I don't care if my daughter does have cancer, leave her alone. Give her some sugar candy. Don't cut her open. No, you wouldn't do it. Doc, if you can help her, help her. Get cut her open, cut her open. She'll get over it. Amen? Oh, that's the way it ought to be to preacher. It ought to be that way with a preacher. Preach, amen. Preach, preach, preach. And amen, if it hits, then so be it. Praise God. You ought to say, preach to my children, preacher. I've had them. They want me to preach to their children as long as they was little tots. But when they become teens, then I get chewed out because I preach on separation. It's still in the Bible and I will preach it. Now, I'm not trying to, I don't have anything to prove. I've been in this thing long enough, I think I've already proved a little bit, amen. I'm not trying to prove nothing tonight. It's time preachers start preaching again. It's time parents start parenting again and start telling their children no every once in a while. Amen. Don't let them run with wild people because they'll get on your children. Preacher, I don't know what's going on with little sissy. She's a rebellious and smack talks and sasses to mom and daddy. I tell you what it is. They run with other sassers. Amen. Well, Lord help us. Y'all can't handle much more. I can see that. Jesus said He has need of you. That means it's a requirement, a necessity, a prerequisite, an employment. Can I give you this right here and I'm done? Y'all been very kind. I have preached 56 minutes. I got a brand new big watch I can see. Amen. Don't mean much, but I can see it. The Lord that wrote it, here's the thing. You ready? I know you're hot. I know you're wore out. But listen, I got a burden on my heart. Number one, when the Lord rides that young colt, guess what? It brings identification to the Savior. Because Zechariah 9 and verse 9 prophesied that Jesus would be known by this truth. He would ride into Jerusalem, riding the colt of an ass. Oh, why, young person, would you want Jesus to get on you? God to get on you. Why? Because you, in doing so, will bring attention to Him. You will point Him out. He is the... Listen, He's the promised one of the Old Testament. He's the one that all the prophecies are about. That's Him. And God used a colt to bring attention to that. Preach, I ain't nothing. Preach, I ain't nothing. Not God used me. You think, preacher? He used a colt. Brings identification to the Savior. Did you know this? That when that colt, when Jesus rode that colt into town, because of the what was going on in Jerusalem, there was approximately 5 million people in Jerusalem for that special feast. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And all those Jews knew that Bible. They knew Zechariah 9. They knew what the book said. And when they saw Jesus, amen, coming down the road, riding that colt, guess what? That whole crowd began to say, "That's Him! Hosanna!" Young people, let God get on you. Let God get on you. Why? Because you'll bring attention to the Savior. Number two, you'll bring elevation to the Savior. When Jesus got on the colt, it raised Jesus up into the eyes of the observer. Why should you want God to get on you, young people? So you can, my friend, elevate Jesus. And then thirdly, why should you want to? Is because then you exalt the Savior. You bring identification, elevation, and exaltation to the Savior. Watch this right here. I'm about done. Stay with me. Not one bit of praise went to the colt. Nobody said, "Wow, what a colt." You know why? It wasn't about the colt. It was about the one on the colt. In fact, let me tell you this. The colt was covered up anyhow. It had garments all over it. Amen. It didn't get mad, fuss, because its name wasn't in the bulletin. It didn't get mad, start kicking and screaming and pitching a fit, my friend, because it wasn't recognized and everybody could see its form and its beauty and its the way that it was moving. No, it was willing to be covered up. That just so long as the one that was on it is uncovered. And then watch this. Not only did it bring identification to the Savior, it brought elevation to the Savior, it brought exaltation to the Savior. Watch this. It also brought transportation to the Savior. Jesus could have walked into town, but He wouldn't have fulfilled Scripture. Jesus had to walk, had to ride the colt. And watch this right here. When the colt moved, Jesus moved. You should want God to get on you, young people, so that you can take Him to your school. You can take Him to town. Watch this, Brother Tim. One colt took Jesus to town. Young ladies, young men, don't underestimate your potential. Any one of you, if you'll let God get on you, you can take Jesus to town. I'm closing with this right here. Remember a while ago when I had the colt stretched out here tight? Place where two ways met? Remember that? That wasn't long ago. Remember that? How I said that the colt was stretched out there looking at all them free roamers, worldly people, no restrictions on them, just do whatever they want to do, ruining their life. And they looked on the colt with pity. And the colt looked on them with envy. Brother Zach, while you're singing, "Lord, give me this." I pinned it, I wrote it down right quick up there. Now it's changed. That free roaming crowd that's always out there doing as it please. Go get drunk, nobody say nothing.
go out there, my friend, commit all kinds of illicit sexual sins and wickedness and ungodliness. Nobody says nothing. The roles are changed now.
Yes, sir.
That crowd, my friend, that was once looking on the colt with pity, not looking on him with pity now, as he goes down the road with God on him. That crowd that once looked with pity, poor old colt. Now they're saying, wow, I wish I was like that colt. Here I am in prison. Here I am in jail. Here I am with all kinds of drug scars and drinking scars and all kinds of things that's against me. Where I didn't have nobody to tell me no. I didn't have nobody to put no restrictions on me. They just let me do as I please. Now look at me. My life's a wreck. And there goes that little colt with God on it. The roles was reversed. Let's stop the colt. Let's stop the colt. He's en route to taking Jesus to town. Let's just stop him. Excuse me there, Mr. Colt. Excuse me. Can I have a word with you right quick? I won't hold you long. I know you're taking Jesus to town. Can I have a word of interview with you? Well, sure, what is it? You remember back when you had was stretching that lead tight and you was envious of all them? Now that you've got God on you, are you envious of that crowd? No, I'm looking on them with pity. Poor old world. Poor old partying crowd. Poor old dancing crowd. Hey, poor old immodest crowd. Amen. I'm not envious of that crowd. I've got God on me. I'm not envious of that crowd. That crowd's envious of me. When I first got saved at 20 years old, I'm done. When I first got saved at 20 years old, a lot of my friends said, "You'll be back." Because I was the life of the party. "You'll be back." Guess what? It's been 28 years.
Amen.
I've not been back.
Amen.
And guess what I've had the privilege of doing? Because I tried to stay where God could get on me. Guess what I've had the privilege of doing, Brother Tim? Three different times. Going to my high school graduation reunion and preaching to my class. Invitation. I was invited. I want you to come. And on Sunday, preach to us. You know what I say? Oh, I feel like running. You know what I say? Thank God for those restrictions. Thank God for mom and daddy that would tell me no. Thank God he kept me in the zone so that when God come through January 20th of 1981 and saved me by the grace of God through the death of a lamb. Guess what? Staying with God, letting God get on me, Brother Mike, allowed me to take Jesus to my class. And that crowd that used to make fun of me, Brother John, because I'd be up there on high school steps in Rosman, preaching, used to laugh and make fun of me. Well, I can't believe him. Look, man, he is a fool. Perfect platform, right there at the red light. Roslyn, right there at the red light. Big old steps goes up there in a little flat spot. You get right up there and preach. I mean, right there you are and you're looking right down at him. Repent! And Roslyn's about this big anyway. And you can stand right there and preach. And you can look over all the buildings and all three of the houses. Amen. And your voice would just carry. And them young people come through that I used to party with and run with and all that junk. And they'd come driving through that red light and I'd be up there preaching. Was I envious of them saying, "Oh, I wish I was in your car. Oh, I wish I was going where you're going. I wish I was doing what you're doing." No! I was up there saying, "Hallelujah, God's on me. Hallelujah, thank God. I'm going to take Jesus to town." And if the truth would be known, that crowd that was in them cars going by, they was looking up there and in their heart, they may never admit it, but in their heart they said, "You know what? Well, I wish I was like that. I wish that's like that. I'm not for sale." Oh, at the times I've had the opportunity to take those convictions and throw them aside. All the times I've had that opportunity to throw them aside. But I'm not for sale. They're not mom and daddy's convictions. If they were, I would have already changed because mom and daddy's gone already to glory. They're mine. If you ever get God on you one time, you're ruined. Nothing the world ever do that'll satisfy you if you ever get God on you one time. Young people, please, I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't waste your life running after the wild, loose, roaming people of this world. My friend, you may go after them and think this is the life. Boy, look at me, I'm doing it. I'm not doing nothing in church. I'm not faithful to church. I don't even look like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian. Amen. I'm out here just doing my thing. Yeah? One day, age is going to catch up with you. And you're going to look back and look at nothing but a wasted life. You're going to look back at a wasted life. Don't waste your life, young people. I tell you what you need to do. I get in this altar. Say, God, I want you to get on me. I don't want to be just a cult. Living a cult life. Dying a cult death. I want a cult. I want to be a cult that's got God on it. Guess what? We don't know that cult even had a name. We don't know nothing about its genealogy, where it come from. We don't have no clue. All we know was, you know how you know it? You know there was a cult had God on it. That's what you'll be remembered by, Brother Stephen. Won't be how much money you made. Brother Randy, won't be how much money you made or what, how many houses you painted or nothing you've accomplished. You know what you're going to be remembered by 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now? It's whether or not you had God on you. You want God on you? Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll take the message tonight. I preach my heart. I preach your heart. Lord, I know without a doubt you told me to preach this message to this people. Lord, I ask you, dear God, that you'll help these young men and young ladies to fill the altars tonight and be serious. Be serious about it. I want God to get on me. Whether any of the other youth group comes with me or not, I want God on me. Whether anybody follows or not, or agrees or applauds me or not, it don't matter. I want God on me. I want your touch. I want your power. I want your approval. I want your smile. I want your presence on my life. I want that. I want to bring attention to you. I want to elevate you in this world's eyes. I want to exalt you where people would cry, Hosanna to you. I want the Lord bring and give you transportation and move you around and take you to the doorstep of sinners and take you, Lord, to a lost and dying world. Father, help young people to respond. Lord, there's some young people here tonight that can make a difference in their generation if they get God on them. Lord, there's some young people here tonight are going to fool around and waste their life unless they get serious first about getting saved, making sure they're saved, and getting God on. Highest goal, the highest dream and ambition and aspiration would be to get God on. Nothing could have ever happened to that cult any greater than when Jesus got on it that day. Father, have your way. Lord, you told these young people tonight the Lord has need of you. You told them that tonight. Lord, it's up to them to respond. Have your way in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.